And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is health, mind, body, and financial. All of my guests are sharing with us information how to improve our health in one of these three areas. My first guest, Lisa Coffey, examined infidelity, relationships, and how relationships close. My second guest, Earl Mindell, shared with us his solution to what he calls the new pandemic, diabesity. My next guest is going to share the ins and outs of the financial world to help you improve your financial health. He has simple advice on how investors can navigate evolving markets and how to find the best financial advice. If you want to call in and join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Robert Scheman is a wealth expert for CNN and is the author of 10 books, including How Come That Idiot's Rich and I'm Not? Richard Scheman is one of America's top real estate investors and educators, and he's a full-time real estate investor himself. He's a lawyer, a businessman, and he holds a dual degree from Emory University. Welcome to the show, Robert. How are you today?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific, as a matter of fact. Well, let's cut to it. These are tough financial times, and there are no shortage of people out there who claim to be masters of finance, helping people make the most out of their money. In fact, you quote the statistic, if you do a Google search on how to invest money, you'll get nearly 12 million hits. What does it take to become a money master in the world today?
Well, it's a lot more simple than people think. In my latest book called The Seven Secrets of the Money Masters, we go through a very simple anagram of SECRETS to analyze any investment. And by the way, I want to be very careful about the words I use, because most people aren't investors, they're speculators.
Mm.
That's what kills people.
Right.
There's a big difference, because most people buy a stock or mutual fund, or they bought a piece of real estate 4 years ago, they bought it high, and they prayed that it'd go higher. That's speculation. I'm an investor. I always buy everything below market, because I'm always concerned that the markets not only can go up, but they can go down.
All right. Now, you've got my interest, buying below market and then watching it go up. But before we get to the acronym secrets, don't you have to really change your mindset to become a money master? And what do money masters' mindsets, how's it different from common people like you and me?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I loved your previous guest talking about, you know, diabetes or whatever it was. You know, most, and I always ask people to ask the question, why? You know, what's someone's interest? You know, where have we learned about investing? And from the government, the banks, the mutual fund companies. You know, we're all taught these things. And the question is why? And, of course, it's because, you know, the government and mutual funds and banks love us, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. They're looking out for our best interest.
Absolutely. And I'm just kidding. And one of the things I say is, if everything we've learned about investing is wrong, when would you want to know? And we're all taught to do these simple things, and most of them are absolutely wrong. Invest in 401ks. Well, the government set that up so they can tax the harvest when you pull your money out, and they force you to do it at the highest possible tax rate. Many very wealthy, sophisticated money masters don't invest in 401ks. There's other things out there where they can avoid all those taxes. So I think the first thing in becoming a money master is just not buy kind of what's put out there, and also always ask why. What is this person's interest in selling me this or giving me this, and is it in my best interest?
All right. We're talking to Robert Scheman, everybody, and let's go back to the 401ks, because let's face it, when companies did away with pension plans, we sold the bill of goods on 401k programs to secure our retirements. But actually, 401ks have a negative impact on our savings, don't they? Tell us about that.
Well, two things. Number one, the first letter in our secrets is S. Is it safe? And as you know, I think the average money manager 401k went down about 49% during the last crunch, crisis, recession, depression, whatever you want to call it. So is that safe? You know, absolutely not. And number two, why were 401ks created? They were created by Gerald Ford in 1972 because the largest baby boomer generation was coming around. And guess what the government always needs and wants more of?
Tax money.
Money. So they said, hey, we got a great idea. Let's create a 401k plan, retirement plans, where you can put the money in tax-free, and they'll sit around in the room next to you waiting, hoping it grows, and they tax the harvest. You know, if you're a farmer, do you want your seed taxed or your harvest taxed?
No, of course you want the seeds taxed.
Right, but the government taxed your harvest, from your investment account sometimes taking up almost 40%, and they force you to take it out, at different ages, forced distribution. So, 401ks, they sound nice, they look good. It's kind of like, fast food. It's packaged well, it's everywhere, and if you eat enough of it, you'll probably die.
Oh, I was thinking it's more like Chinese food. You're hungry, you eat it now, but a couple of minutes later, you're hungry again. We're talking to Robert Scheman, everybody. His latest book, The Seven Secrets of the Money Masters, and let's get into those seven secrets. You've already alluded to the word secrets is an acronym. The first letter, S, you said, is safety. So that's what you're teaching people. First, look for investments that are safe.
You don't want to lose money, and so many investment vehicles people use are not safe. They're volatile. They go up. No one should have been in the stock market who's going to retire in a few years because it goes down. It's just not safe. The next one's E for expenses. What are the real expenses? I'll give you an example. Mutual funds have 22 expenses by law. They do not have to advertise or tell
or
you
disclose.
About.
They don't have to disclose them by law. Wow,
correct.
Wow,
and most of them have 1.5-1.2% of disclosure. But if you read any articles, and if you want to send me some stuff, I'll email them some articles from some of the top mutual fund experts. Some of the expense ratios are 20 to 30%. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're making only 5% and 20, 30% is going to expenses, that's just huge. And over 30 years, that could be literally hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. 30% sounds like a lot to me, Robert. I don't know about you. That's high. So how do you cut through the marketing hype and know what are the true expenses in any investment?
Well, I think you have to ask and just to not go for what everyone else is doing. There's some index funds out there. There's other investments that don't have those types of expenses. But the main thing is just, knowledge is power. Be aware that this stuff exists.
Okay. All right. So safety, expense, those are the first two letters of the acronym. What does the C stand for?
C is for cash flow. And like we always compare 401ks, if you need to get your cash out, can you get it out of a 401k or mutual fund in most cases?
Not without a penalty.
Lots of penalties, lots of interest, lots of taxes. So no. So I like to go to investments that I can get cash flow out of. Same with the real estate. I love real estate, but most people did not buy for cash flow. They bought for speculation, and that's the number one reason businesses go out of business and people go out of business is because it's not that they're not working hard or it's not a good investment. It's cash flow. So I like to invest in things that I know I can get my money out quickly if I need to.
All right. Now, I'm going to take a little U-turn on you here, Robert, because you did make your money in real estate, and we're talking about the secrets of the money masters. Is real estate a place where you can make some money in today's environment?
Absolutely. But we're investors, not speculators. We buy way below market and buy for cash flow. Yesterday, I put under a contract an apartment building that the banks are giving away for $10,000 a unit. Now it's not in Santa Barbara. it's in Memphis, Tennessee, in an okay neighborhood, not a bad neighborhood, not a great neighborhood, and it rents for $700 a month a unit.
Okay, that's
so cash flow. I've always bought for cash flow. So even if the market goes down, you're still making money. And we always buy below market, which today there's tons of properties 30, 40, 50, 60% below market that people can buy. But again, it's not for a beginner just to go out there and buy something. You got to really know what you're doing and understand it. And I'll jump ahead of the last test. Does it make sense? Do you really understand, the safety, the expenses, the cash flow, and, the R, the next one, the real rate of return. And this one I think will surprise you.
All right. Tell me more about the real rate of return.
Well, I'm going to give everybody a 15-second math lesson. You put $100 in an account, you have a horrible year, a mutual fund, a 401k, whatever it is, goes down 50%. What do you have at the end of year one?
What do you have at the end of year one?
$100, and it's not a trick question, goes down 50%.
You've got $50.
The next year you have a great year, goes up 100%. You got $50 left, goes up 100%. Awesome year. What do you got at the end of 2 years?
You're sitting at 75.
No, well, actually, you had 50 goes of 100%.
Oh, sorry, 100%.
You're right. You got back at 100, correct?
Mm-hmm, right.
So over 2 years, how much have you made?
Zip.
Zero. Well, the average rate of return, down 50, up 100, is actually 25% average rate of return a year. But how much have you made?
Nothing.
Well, that's what mutual fund companies and most banks use in their prospectuses. Average rate of return means nothing. The only rate of return we're interested in is the real rate of return, which would be, in that case, zero or less.
Gotcha. All right. Now, that's a good distinction there. So how do you, again, cut through the marketing hype to find out what is the real rate of return on a potential investment?
Your broker, your bank account, say, let me see the real numbers of some real accounts. the real rate of return, not the average. By the way, a lot of them won't be able to tell you because they don't know it, which would tell you to do the other R, which is run.
The other R is run. I like it. We're talking to Robert Scheman, everybody. His latest book, The Seven Secrets of the Money Masters. And we've got safety, expense, cash flow, real rate of return. What does the next E stand for?
Economy. What's the environment? You know, anyone's ever been on a boat or an airplane knows if you've got a 100-mile-an-hour headwind, it's going to be slower to get there. And some people just buy an investment without understanding the macro picture. I mean, right now our government's in tons of debts. The baby boomer generation, which represents 70% of buying power, is going to be forced to take money out of the stock market. The peak is going to be about 2014. So I'm not a big – I don't want to fight that. So we've taken a lot of our clients and people out of the stock market because of the big economic picture going on, you know, China and India and the governmental debt. And by the way, I'm not political here. I'm just talking about helping people make and save money. So before you buy something or invest in, you got to know what's going on in the world around you. We got rid of a lot of real estate when we saw that. Check this out: the home equity lines that were created in the early 90s, early 2000, were representing 70% of consumer spending.
Wow!
Now, is that sustainable?
No, of course not.
So we saw the writing on the wall. We're not perfect. We messed up too some, but said real estate, you can't keep this going. It can't last.
All right, good. I mean, that is great. So look at the economy, figure out the headwinds, figure out what's going on. So as you look at this economy, you're saying pull out of the stock market. We're seeing a real rally in the stock market right now. I mean, we were flirting with two-year highs on the Dow Jones just yesterday.
But when you have 70% of the population, baby boomers, who when they're 60 and 70 have to pull money out to pay those forced distribution taxes out of their 401ks, I don't want to be fighting that trend. It's not going to happen all in 1 week or 1 year, but that's a trend.
Right, right.
So when you got that many people having to pull money out and sell stocks to liquidate, now there could be other factors that help mitigate it. What probably has to happen, you know, the stock market's just supply and demand.
Right, but now let me ask you, Robert, I'm going to drill you on this one and say, yes, a lot of Americans are going to be pulling out, and I can agree with that. That's part of the Harry Dent philosophy of generational investing. But there are foreign investors. There's a rising middle class in China. The middle class in China is 300 million people. That's roughly the size of the United States. They're going to be looking for ways to invest, and the United States stock market still represents one of the safest havens in the world. Won't we start to fill some of the void left by retiring people with foreign investors who are looking for safe haven?
That's a very good point, and that's one of those mitigating factors. And however, you know, the Chinese, their middle class is larger than our population, which is something that people really need to realize. But the point is, and you mentioned something, that right now the U.S. is still the safest haven, which I agree is still amazing, the Treasury bonds. But the question is, will that be the case with our debt load?
Now, very good question, and something we're going to have to keep our eyes on very closely.
Yeah. And you're right. It's not as simple as it seems, but there's just so many warning signs out there that just scare me. There's so many other investment vehicles besides the stock market. We do prepaid commodity contracts, other financial instruments, certain indices that you know are a little bit more safer and more what I call, and I hate to use the word guaranteed, than what we're taught to traditionally invest in.
Well, let's talk about that. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but I'm going to come back to the first one, the safety feature, prepaid options contracts. That sounds a little risky to me because options are so volatile.
Oh, no, we actually do prepaid commodities.
Contracts
where someone's already bought something.
Okay.
And if the money's already there, it could be 10,000 or 100,000 metric tons of ore. And again, this is not for everybody out there, but these things exist. You know, different alternative investments that no one ever tells you about that are out there that people do.
All right. We're talking to Robert Scheman, everybody. He's got a great new book, The Seven Secrets of the Money Masters. We're talking about his acronym, SECRETS. We've done SECRE. What does the T in SECRETS stand for, Robert?
Oh, that's the big one, taxes. Oh, boy. Everyone here has a partner taking sometimes 30 to 50% of what we make, you know, with FICA, WICA, WACA, withholding, estate tax, federal tax, payroll tax. And, you know, what is tax advantage and what is not tax advantage? Very many wealthy families set up their own banking system where I'm not saying they charter a bank, but they use financial instruments where they put the money in tax-free, they borrow it out tax-free. You know, when you have a 401k, you're going to be taxed at the highest rate. And that's just something that you've got to be aware of, the tax implications.
Now, most of us aren't, though, Robert. That's the tough part. So where do you go to get advice, good advice, on tax implications?
Well, that's a really good question. There's a few financial planners out there that now study and promote the Be Your Own Bank process. But again, if you line up 100 agents, financial planners, probably 90, 95 of them don't do that because they hadn't been taught that. And you don't have to be super wealthy to do it. And we have clients that do it with, you know, a couple $1,000, a couple $100 a month. But it's a system that they start, and who always makes the most money in every city, in every state, in every country? The banks.
Except for this last year or so, I would have to agree with you there. That's the T in tax efficiency, and then the S in secrets is sense or common sense.
Right, and we add everything else up. And there's some questions you ask. Is the person showing me this doing it themselves? Bernie Madoff. Well, first of all, who'd give their money to a guy named Madoff? But, you know, who was his accountant? An $80 billion hedge fund, his accountant was his brother, a cousin, you know, Joey, in the basement office.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
Yes, in retrospect, it doesn't, but there were a lot of people who bought into that, weren't there?
That's right, and you just got to use common sense and go through these secrets and ask yourself, do I really understand everything they're doing? And if not, don't do it.
All right. Well, in the couple minutes we've got left, I've got two questions for you, Robert. First of all, most of us, we don't have the time or the financial acumen to make our own investment decisions. We have to rely on financial advisors to help us. So how can you help us to differentiate between a good financial advisor and somebody who's just shilling for an investment sale?
I think a couple basic questions. Number one, ask them what they've accomplished and what they've done with their own portfolio and what they're doing, and have them show it to you. And number two is, are they investing in what they're selling you? Is their mom and sister? Now everybody has different risk
profiles,
propensities. But, you know, are they and their family investing in these things? And how's the performance been? And what are they really doing? Not the theory, not the average rate of returns, not what they're recommending. And ask them, what is their interest? Are they making commissions? And it's okay for them to make commissions as long as they tell you about it and you understand what their real interest is.
All right. That's good advice. We're talking to Robert Scheman, everybody, author of the book, The Seven Secrets of the Money Masters. Robert, I ask this of many of the authors who come on the show. What did you get out of writing this book?
Well, I was so frustrated with people who've lost fortunes, lost money in real estate and the stock market, that we came up with a very simple system that if people would have followed it, we believe they would not have lost, and in the future they will not lose, and they will understand what they're doing. So it was kind of a response to all my friends, families, and associates who just got obliterated.
And part of your propensity to want to teach. We've been talking to Robert Scheman, everybody, author of the book, The Seven Secrets of the Money Masters. Robert, it's been great talking to you. We look forward to talking to you down the line.
Happy investing.
Thanks. Take care now.